And we're off. Day two of the Tony Gwynn Jr. led show, but this time it is a full Gwynn and Chris because Chrisello is in the building. It has
hopefully
truly taken a
yeoman's effort,
a mountain moving Matthew Scraby to get us here. Through frustration and anger, we have Chrisello here. And Chris, I am so happy that you have been able to grace us with your spirit today.
Your spirit.
You might be right about that, Tony. I think I'm here in spirit. I'm not much here in body and mind right now.
And I can tell, my friend. Let me tell you guys who are listening right now. The amount of work it took to get to this point, it was a lot. And as you guys probably can imagine, if for those who listen to our show on a pretty daily, daily basis, Scraby has a propensity to get
a short fuse.
Yeah, he has a short fuse. And when I walked in at about 2:20 today, or excuse me, 1:20, I could see it in his face. He was red in the cheeks.
Still
he was
am
gritting his teeth. Chris on the other side. Meanwhile, although I can't see him, I could feel him. His frustration was mounting his too. He was kind of, as Chris does when he starts to get a little irritated, he just becomes submissive. He's just, okay, what do you need me to do? I don't. So that is where we're at.
I feel like whatever the issue was, it was that did not allow me to be on camera today from the hotel up here in Riverside. I feel like the issue was not my fault. But I just don't know enough about all this stuff, Tony, to be sure that it's not my fault. So I think that's where some of the submissive thing comes in. If it really is my fault, then I feel terrible about it because I did everything I know how to do to try to get on camera today. And I could see Scraby and he could see me, but we just couldn't get it to hook up. So I don't know where it went wrong. I apologize. For those who must see me today, I look a little frazzled right now. So
I can imagine.
If you must know.
Why do I have to be on camera looking frazzled then?
Oh, it was definitely, as an innocent bystander in this, it was definitely fun to watch these two figure it out. And this is, this is behind the scenes. This is how you know we've come a long way with this group. Because I don't know that at the beginning this would have ever come to this point where Chris is on the show and Scraby is actually within his mind.
I had to learn after I stopped drinking that I cannot be such a jerk to people who can't figure things out. And I'm not great at it. And it's been a constant.
It's a struggle.
But today. I was just telling Tony before the show, I have grown in this way. I know when it's time to be a jerk, and I know when it's time to just get down to business, don't say anything, just do the job and figure it out.
Yeah.
And today I did the job, figured it out. We're on the air. It's all good.
There it is. Jesse Agler will be a guest in this show. A great article by Evan Drellich of The Athletic, really kind of highlighting where the landscape of baseball is from a television standpoint. A lot of different conversations happen. We'll dive into that in the 3 o'clock hour. Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, be able to break down some of the Padres prospects that have been written about here in recent days as the Padres added a few guys to their 40-man rosters. We'll have at least one judge today in a wig.
I'm a judge
here.
Too.
Scraby's going to be an alternate judge.
I'm going to wear a wig for the first time.
He's coming in with his wig. Are you going to wear the little cape?
The doily.
Thing? The doily.
I got made fun of for wearing the doily last week, so I probably will.
We'll have a little sports court, Big Five, Chris versus the fans, all of that. Chris, let's start with college football. The college football rankings came out. Last night, Scraby and I kind of grazed over it. But kind of going through it today, it made me kind of realize that, at least for the time being, I think this playoff thing is going pretty well. When you look at the mix of teams that are in there. I think everybody thought initially this was going to be a SEC ace, or excuse me, Big 12 or Big 10 type of deal. As it's turned out, there's a nice mix of different teams, including Boise State, who has now slid into one of the bye spots that is available at the number four spot.
This is unbelievable to me. It's absolutely one of the most unbelievable things I think I've seen in sports, you know, since the Chicago Bear guy taunted the fans in Washington, D.C. and then tipped the pass into the hands of the guy for the touchdown. I mean, this is incredible. Are you telling me, are the people who put the playoff, you know, committee that have put this setup together, are they telling me that if for some reason this were one of the magic San Diego State years where we beat Washington State, where we beat Cal earlier in the season, where we beat Boise State, where we were sitting in first place in the Mountain West Conference right now, and that did happen several times in the last decade or two, are they telling me that right now San Diego State could be not only in the college football playoff, but be getting a bye in the first round?
That's exactly what they're telling you.
Right. It is mind-boggling to me, Tony. I love it. This is exactly what I hoped would happen. But I must tell you, and I must tell everybody else out there, this is not going to last for very long.
It's not going to last for very long.
They are not ever going to sit by in a system that allows somebody from a Group of Five conference to get a bye where teams like Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State are fighting it out. This is not going to continue. So maybe this year Boise State will get a bye, but I will bet you anything that they will change the way this works next year.
Yeah, I have a sneaky suspicion that you are absolutely right. If it is to stay like this, look, Boise State is not a guarantee. They could somehow lose to UNLV in a conference championship, and it's a moot point. But if things stay the way they are right now, it would be pretty remarkable. And I have no doubt that there would instantly be, from the last whistle of this playoff season, I have no doubt within minutes there will be a story written about a conversation being had about how that can't happen again, especially if Boise State doesn't have a good showing in this next playoff run, should they get there. The thing that's most interesting to me, Chris, is kind of deciphering how the committee is putting this together. It's clear that your record matters. It's clear that it matters who you beat. It's clear that it matters who you lost to and how much. And I say that because you go back to week, I think it was one, Boise State has that close loss to Oregon. And Oregon right now sits as the number one team atop the entire playoff. And for Boise State to get as high of a ranking, I think it tells you that the committee looks at, as they keep calling it, the eye test, as most people are calling it, the eye test, and that loss, although it is a loss, matters in terms of Boise State and where they're seated right now.
Now, there's no question about it. Boise State lost to Oregon not only by 3 points, Tony, but it was a last play of the game, field goal. Yeah. So this was tied up until the final play. There's a couple of things I would say. If you ask any of the Paul Feinbaums in the world,
yeah, exactly,
and there are a lot of them, they will tell you flat out, without question, that if Boise State gets in as with a bye, and somebody like Tennessee doesn't even make the field, they will tell you that Tennessee would kill Boise State in a head-to-head matchup, and that the whole thing is a travesty.
Yes, they would.
But here is how I would argue against that. To all of the Tennessee fans and the Alabama fans and the Georgia fans, this is what you get for scheduling a non-conference game against Menlo College or against
State
Citadel or against East Tennessee A&M. This is what you get. If you would schedule a reasonable non-conference schedule and beat solid teams, I don't think you'd be sitting in this position.
Fair point.
And the reason that Boise State is in this position is because they had Oregon in a year where Oregon just happens to be the number one team.
Yep.
If Oregon was number seven right now, I don't think Boise State would be getting a bye. But they're not. They're number one, and Boise State played them to the end.
Yeah, I think the other thing to keep in mind is, and it's not just the Boise State sign that I think makes this thing fun. Just below that is Army. They're 19. They move up five spots. Remember, it's you get in of the five conferences, you get in, right? You got the Big Four and then the Power Five guys that the rest of the conferences have a chance. The best, the highest rank. You got
right.
Army and you got Tulane, both of which can conceivably win their conferences with a Boise loss and find themselves in the playoffs. Now, I don't think they can move up high enough to get to a bye spot, but they certainly can get in. And what world would you have imagined having a conversation that Army or a Tulane team could be involved in this 12-team playoff? I think this makes it a lot more like basketball, where you know you're getting some of the teams that, you know, mid-majors, if you will, that get in that are talented teams. And it just makes it fun, right? Anybody can win on even given day. Now, football's a little bit different than basketball. You know, those matchups typically, if you're favored, the team that has the better team typically wins those matchups. However, I think we are getting to a place in college football with the transfer portal. This is one of the highlights of the transfer portal, is that a lot of these schools can still get kids and be competing, whether it's because a kid's looking for a chance to play it elsewhere or it didn't work out in one of the bigger schools that he's at. Some of these schools, the talent is a lot more spread out than I think it's ever been. And that opens the door for big upsets, which ultimately is what you want to see in tournament play.
I would say that everything you just said, Tony, is going to be the opening three paragraphs of Paul Feinbaum's article when he says and writes after this season that this did not work.
Yeah.
But I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. This is exciting. This is what it should be. There should be a chance for the little guy. But I guarantee you that the big guys do not want a chance for the little guy. I wouldn't be surprised if SEC and Big Ten get together and tell the college football playoff committee, you guys take a hike. We're going to have our own tournament.
They're already having that conversation, if I'm not mistaken.
They're going to get rid of the college football playoff. If somebody, I'm telling you, Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia is not going to make it. And whichever one of those teams does not make it in favor of Boise State or Army or whoever is going to go crazy. And so are a lot of people who are behind those, you know, SEC mammoth programs.
Yeah. To me, it's always a good sign when one of the big powers in football is complaining about.
Right. That means we're doing something right, Tony.
Kirby Smart is certainly not happy with the playoff committee. I think that's a good thing. All right. We're off and rolling today. We got a lot to get to. Cy Young Awards will be handed out today. I told you about the kind of Major League Baseball story kind of circulating in terms of television. We'll get to that a little bit later. The Lakers, West Side Connect. The Lakers get a big victory last night, and the rookie Connect had 9 three-pointers. We'll get into that a little bit later. A lot to get to, but we should have some fun today. A little daily gambit, see how the bets went. Chris seems to be coming in nice and clear on time. Scrape, you did a good job, man.
Thanks.
Let's get to break. Borg Witt and Chris on the other side. 221, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out in Riverside. Currently trying to get his camera working. He's going to do that. He's going to take his time doing that.
No, I need a chop chop.
No, let this man.
I've been saying chop chop a lot today.
Let this guy figure it out. He'll get it done. Meanwhile, he's also co-hosting a radio show, so show him some grace. He'll get it up. Lakers, got to start there. What? Now 11 and
do we?
Yeah, I think we do.
See, you come in here with such energy when they win.
I've been quite quiet.
Because they lose
but
and you don't bring it up.
They haven't lost in a while. They've won six straight. I'm just saying.
Connect Four?
Connect? No, not Connect Four. West Side Connect.
Why? Okay, tell me why it's West Side Connect. I know his last name is Connect, but I don't. He's not from the West Coast, is he?
No, he's not. But Snoop Dogg gave him that nickname.
Well, Snoop Dogg
pretty early,
it
so it's what it is at this point.
All right, Chris, you just got to mute your computer. That's all good. I can hear it. We're almost there.
Baby steps. See?
There he is. He's on the camera. But you got to mute your computer, Chris.
It is muted.
Nah, but it's coming in somewhere.
It says mute now.
I think we got it.
We got it. We definitely got it. Nice work.
Wow, look at us, guys.
All right, can I go?
Lee of little faith, Scraby. Lee of little faith.
I'm not going to lie. I had no faith. No faith.
I'm telling you guys, I did everything right on my end.
You clearly did because you're on
screen.
Scraby
doesn't believe it. He thinks that I messed something up. But
I need a forensic analyst.
You were looking at my screen.
I was.
And you didn't see anything incorrect.
I honestly believe that is the only thing that has kept Scraby's sanity, that you guys were sharing a screen so he could see everything that you were doing. So
yeah,
he can't call you a liar.
Hey, go click on the speaker. No, the other speaker. No. The speaker on the left. Okay, the speaker. That's how it usually goes. Chris.
I don't normally say this, but I'd rather talk about the Lakers. So
fair enough. Dalton Connect, 37 last night, 21 in the third. Lakers now 2-0 in cup action, ladies and gentlemen. They're looking to repeat as NBA Cup champions.
They've never lost an NBA Cup game.
They haven't. They're undefeated in NBA Cup play.
Yeah, they won every game last year. But let's talk about Dalton Connect. I mean, here's a couple things. Number one, he makes 9 threes. There's only 3 guys other than him in the history of the Lakers that have done that. And one of them is D'Angelo Russell, so good for him. The other two are LeBron James and Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
So Dalton Connect, in the first month of his career, has already put himself in the same breath as LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. That's pretty impressive. Secondly, I love what LeBron James said after the game, because they asked him, how did you guys find Dalton Connect? And LeBron James said, we didn't find him. The other teams are just stupid and didn't take him.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, he called it out the way it is. He goes, the guy's the SEC player of the year.
Right.
How do you let him fall to us? You all these other teams could have drafted him. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
So I like LeBron called everybody out, and the Lakers are pretty happy with him right now, with Dalton Connect.
He has been he's been the best rookie in the league so far this year. He's a pure shooter that can do other things, but last night he had it going. I mean, in that third quarter, it seemed like no matter whether it was off the dribble, whether it was spotting up off of a D'Angelo Russell assist. I think Russell had 5 assists out of those 9 threes that Connect hit. This is a good start for the Lakers. I mean, they often, at least the last few years, have come in and it's been either a really slow start and had to catch up, or kind of a up and down, you know, no consistency type deal for the Lakers. And that has not been the case this year. They are playing some pretty good basketball. I think a lot of credit goes to J.J. Redick, who I, for one, was not a fan of when the Lakers were making this move. I remember him and Han to both you and Scraby, Chris, but it seems like at this point, and this is after, remember, they got off, they went undefeated at home, and then they went out on the road for 5 games, and they lost 4 out of 5. And so they kind of already hit one of those little patches where it could have gone sideways, but J.J. Redick has got these guys playing some pretty good basketball, Chris.
Yeah, they are, and I think it was important because J.J. Redick was certainly, you know, a guy that was on everybody's radar.
Yeah.
They wanted to see, how's this guy going to perform? You know, no experience as a coach. Didn't exactly kill it at his introductory press conference, unless you think swearing up and down the row is a good thing. But, you know, I think people were ready to criticize J.J. Redick.
Sure.
And, you know, he's not giving them anything to criticize. I will say this, Tony. I'm not trying to put a fly in the ointment, but they've had a bit of a softer schedule. I mean, Utah is not one of the top clubs. They played Toronto twice. You know, it hasn't been – they haven't seen any Bostons or even Milwaukees or, you know, I think they saw Golden State and they beat them. But, yeah, it's a good start. I mean, you can't put it any other way. And, you know, I wish the Chicago Bulls were, you know, smart enough to draft somebody that could play in the NBA, because I know the guy they picked number 7, I think his name is Bouzelas.
Is that the Frenchman?
He barely plays a minute or two a game. I mean, this is what – and, I mean, what's the number 1 pick doing for the Atlanta Hawks? I haven't heard his name mentioned all year.
No.
And here are the Lakers picking in the 20s. They're getting a guy that's contributing right away.
Let's hear from LeBron James on Dalton Connect.
They didn't find DK. The other 16 teams f***ed it up.
I love it. And then he has this little
I told you that's
face.
What he said.
He has this little smirk on his face like, am I wrong?
Like
am
you,
I wrong?
Yeah, that's think what
Chris,
I told you.
Chris said it right. You don't find an SEC player of the year. Much of teams, as he said, just clearly thought that there were better prospects out there. And so far, it's early season, Dalton Connect has proven them to be incorrect. At this point, Lakers will be back in action, I believe, Friday for more NBA Cup.
It's Tuesday or Friday. I know that.
Tuesday and Friday.
I know that.
Those are the 2 days.
Locked in. That used to be like Full House and Urkel.
I also know that Cleveland will not go undefeated this year.
That's right.
Thanks to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And the three-point bombs that they were launching yesterday.
They were 20 for 33. At one point in the game.
Yeah.
That's like 65% on threes. And Cleveland still almost won the game. But at the very end, Tony, I mean, it's what the NBA's become now. You give the ball to Jaylen Brown. The other four guys go to the other side of the floor. And you can't stop him one-on-one, even one-on-two.
Yeah.
And, you know, Boston gets the win. Donovan Mitchell was doing the same thing at the other end. But he couldn't catch, you know, Cleveland was behind. He couldn't rally him.
Yeah, it was a good finish. I mean, Cleveland got down pretty big in that game, but they marched all the way back, got in that game. But I think the Celtics finished up 21 of 40 from the three-point line, which
silly.
Is still over 50%, which is remarkable. But it also shows you how good the Cavs are. Cavs are for real. That Celtics team, although, albeit without Porzingis, they're missing their big man, still the top. I think one of the top teams, if not the top team in the league, the Cavs showing that they can hang with them at the very least. All right, let's slide away, step away. When we come back, Eli Manning, a little potpourri of news. Eli Manning, one of the 25 semifinalists for the Hall of Fame. Deion Sanders says he's got a kickstand down in Colorado. We'll get to it on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
You better explain that.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Those are pretty sweet phones. My wife just got one. Quite jealous. Don't roll your eyes at Apple products, Scraby.
I did.
That was
I just
rude.
Did.
Very rude of you.
That's, you know, that commercial has bothered me so much.
What commercial?
The guy who's a bumbling idiot who works in the office and he can't write, and then he taps the AI thing and it writes an email for him so that the boss thinks he's smart. It's just going to continue to have people fail up.
It's just the way of the world these days, man.
Just the way of
AI
the world.
AI is taking over in some shape or form in your lives, in our lives. Some of us don't even know it.
I'm not ready for it.
I'm not either. Mr. Ello. How do you feel the Riders will do today?
I was kind of happy today because I know that today the Baseball Writers of America cannot break our hearts.
No, they cannot.
They've done it 2 days in a row. Although I must say I didn't expect that Mike Schilt was going to win. I still think he very well could have won.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Mike Schilt was a whole lot closer in the balloting
than
Jackson Merrill was the day before. And it's nice to be honored. I don't know that anybody gets into the business to win those awards. You get into the business to win a ring. And that's what Mike Schilt wants. That's what Jackson Merrill wants. That's what the Padres want. But, you know, it's 2 days later, and I'm still, you know, not exactly overjoyed that Paul Skenes got 23 votes and Jackson Merrill only got 7. It is just really hard for me to come to grips with that. I got to believe that the people who vote in the baseball writers really take it seriously. And you know, I mean, really, and I mean, if you have to stay awake or if you have to watch a replay of a game, but how did you not notice what Jackson Merrill was doing, even if you were on the East Coast? And we detailed the fact that he only got one East Coast vote. So it just, Paul Skenes, again, he was great eye candy. He had a year, but it wasn't as good. So I just don't see how 23 out of 30 people didn't see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I have asked myself, are we the ones that are tripping when it comes to this? Are we the ones that are seeing this wrong? Because as you mentioned, there was only one East Coast vote that he got, but there were at least, what, 4 on the West Coast that didn't vote for him?
The Colorado Rocky writers didn't vote for him. Neither did the Arizona writers.
Right. And so, you know, and from that standpoint alone, even folks on the West Coast saw something that we didn't see, apparently. Nonetheless, Jackson posted a nice little video montage today using some Kendrick Lamar music. It was quite cool. I reposted it on my story. It was just kind of, it was almost just like a thank you to everybody who was standing up for him at this point. And as you guys perfectly put, the least bothered person by this probably is probably Jackson.
I gotta imagine though that somewhere deep down inside he's thinking like us, like, what did they see in him that they didn't see in me?
I also know, knowing Jackson, that this is probably just fuel.
And oh, so, yeah, this is good.
You know,
fuel.
This might be the best thing that ever happened to San Diego fans.
The and fact the Pirates that he got played himself too.
Finished,
so.
The fact that he finished second in this Rookie of the Year, it might have unlocked a beast that we didn't know was coming. So we'll see on that.
Hey, Scraby, I have a question for you, though, because I know you're going to be looking at this today.
Uh-oh.
Will Livy Dunn be sitting next to her man today while they wait for the Cy Young to be announced?
Don't be a hater, Scraby.
Because we know that he's probably not going to win today.
I wouldn't be
so
surprised.
So is she going to be there with him today or not?
Of course.
Why wouldn't she?
She can't miss out on that TV time, everybody.
Stop.
No, because MLB, and again, did you notice that everybody else...
Have you ever thought that Mr. Skenes wants her right next to him during these... Yeah, it never crossed your mind at all.
It does. It has. I've talked with my friends about it. And the answer is, I think she forces herself in there.
You're ridiculous.
Because in all honesty, he was the only one looking like the most interesting man in the world. Jackson Churio was in someone's garage. Jackson Merrill was
leave
in the dugout.
Jackson alone. That Jackson alone.
Yeah. No.
Jackson was at Petco. Our Jackson was at Petco.
Jackson Merrill was at Petco. Paul Skenes is the only one with a significant other in the most beautiful cabin
Paul
in the world.
Paul Skenes actually looked like he didn't really care what
he
happened
did
at that point. He was just happy to be by the fireplace. He was warm and toasty. The fact that he got the award was just the icing on the cake.
That fake beard didn't melt off from the fire.
You say that you like this guy and you just don't like the way he's treated, but you truly don't like the guy.
It certainly feels like that.
It's just easy for me to pile on, but I think she will be there tonight, Chris, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won the award.
I would be very surprised if
you I'd be pretty
work.
Shocked this time.
Do you know that Livy Dunn did an interview for the MLB social media? Just her.
What,
did
there,
anybody
is,
else's wife do an interview or a girlfriend?
Is there a problem with that, Scraby?
For the sake of the argument and my sanity, no. There is no problem with that.
Right, who are you a bigger fan of these days, Scraby?
Oh, no.
Taylor Swift or Livy Dunn?
Taylor.
You have to spend a half an hour of Starbucks coffee time with one of the two.
Ooh.
Who are you hanging out with?
Taylor Swift. And the reason is because she has cooler stories, I bet. Libby does. She's an international.
She's lived more, a little more life.
Mega star. And she's dated a bunch of guys. I would like to know, like, how, what they were like to date, if they're mean, if they're nice.
Are you want tea? You ain't even going to get any, like.
I have 30 minutes to kill with
inspirational kind of thing. I mean, she's like.
Oh, I don't need inspirational stuff.
She might have some jewels for you, man.
All right, Taylor, can you tell me what your jewels are? All right, well, now will you tell me about John Mayer?
Let's move on. How about that? Let's go to the NFL. Chris, it looks like the semifinalists have been named. And the 25 semifinalists, we got a mix of guys who were finalists last year. All of the newcomers this year. One of the newcomers who is going to be, I don't want to say a controversy, it's going to be a topic of discussion. Eli Manning doesn't have the big-time lofty passing numbers that you often see, but he is a winner, and he won multiple times. Chris, how do you see this one kind of shaking out, specifically with Eli Manning? Because there's some other names on there. Antonio Gates is another name that I think we all feel like belongs in that Hall of Fame. I think Aaron Allen's back on there. You got Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Fred Taylor, Rodney Harrison, Eric Allen. Some of the new guys this year, excuse me, Terrell Suggs, Luke Kuechly, Errol Thomas, Adam Vinatieri, the kicker, and then obviously Eli Manning. But let's start with Manning. I mean, this is one that we've been talking about, I think, even before he retired. Like, where does he kind of line up in this conversation? And I think it's probably split. I think most people, I think half of the people think he should go in. I think half of the people are a little leery of the numbers overall.
Well, I think the immediate argument against Eli Manning is that Trent Dilfer is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Nick Foles is not a Hall of Famer. Brad Johnson, not a Hall of Famer. But all of them won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
All right? So, and that's the main thing that's getting Eli Manning in, is his incredible two-year run in the playoffs. Keep in mind that if you are an Eli Manning fan and you say, well, he was a great playoff quarterback, he actually wasn't. He was great for two of the years that he was in the playoffs. He went all the way. Do you know that he never won another playoff game in any of the other years?
I did know that.
So it was just two magical years. But having said that, he did do that. And on the biggest stage, in one of the biggest Super Bowls ever played against the undefeated Patriots, it was Eli Manning who led them down the field, who made one of the plays of the century, shaking off the sack and throwing to the helmet catch for David Tyree. So I think Eli Manning is not only going to get in, I think he deserves to be in.
Yeah, I agree.
But I know the argument against him, and I already made the argument against him. But I just think, for the moments, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't want to compare him to a kicker, but I think Adam Vinatieri should be in for the same reason. You can talk about kickers, and they don't mean this, and they don't mean that, but there's only one guy that won back-to-back Super Bowls with a field goal on the last play of the game.
Yeah.
And there's only one guy that won the tuck rule game, kicking it through the snow, 47 yards. There's never been a better clutch Super Bowl kicker. And I think the best of that category should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The full selection committee will next reduce the list of candidates to 15 finalists who will be voted on at the annual meeting before the Super Bowl. That will produce the new class. Players must be approved by 80% of the voters to get in, with between 3 and 5 players getting in as modern era candidates. Antonio Gates is the other name that stands out on this list. I don't think there's any question that he should be in, and I think he will get in this time around. What was the argument, Chris, for him not getting in on the first ballot? Was there a good one, or are they holding him accountable for the suspensions he had in his career, do you think?
There might be a little of that, but I think what happened last year is the pro football writers who were supposed to vote all missed the deadline, And so they called the Baseball Writers of Association of America to vote, and they forgot and left Antonio Gates out.
I was wondering where you were going with that for a second.
Because there's just, you cannot tell me that Antonio Gates shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Without even a question mark.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that it was even, like, he even had to wait an extra year. I mean, whatever happened with the controversy, the performance enhancing, correct me if I'm wrong, it happened like in the very last year of his career. You know, he'd already accomplished more than almost any tight end in the history of the game.
Right.
He was one of the most dominant players for over a decade. And let me add to that, even though this doesn't get into voting, he's one of the nicest people I ever got to deal with in the history of interviewing guys for sports. You know, it was mind-boggling to me that he got left out last year. So I'm hoping that they, you know, get it squared up this year.
The other name that I think stands out to me, Terrell Suggs. He's a newcomer on this list. It's a guy who had a ton of sacks over the course of his career. An NFL champion, I think. Twice. I think he was there for the first one.
He was definitely there when he played for the 49ers.
He beat the 49ers. Yeah. It might have been a little bit after 2000, though, when they
won that one.
But nonetheless, pretty good class of characters. That's not even to mention guys like Reggie Wayne in this, Vince Wilfork. I mentioned Rodney Harrison. A lot of quality players on that list.
T-Sizzle is a two-time champion.
Two times, so he was there for the
he
first
played
one.
From. I didn't realize he played 16 seasons from 2003 to 2019.
It's a long time.
Yeah, that's enough reason to put you in the Hall of Fame right there. I think Jared Allen's a guy that's going to have a big impact in this vote. But I, you know, I'm probably a little bit biased, but I think Rodney Harrison was an impact player, not just for the Chargers, but for the Patriots
too.
Also.
Yeah.
Rodney Harrison to me was a Hall of Fame type player. Who changed games, he certainly changed a lot of receiving routes. I guarantee you, people didn't run across the middle too comfortably when he was playing. But, you know, almost every guy that's on this list can probably make some case for the Hall of Fame. That's why they're on this list. Yep. So, you know, they have to separate it out and try to determine who deserves it the most. But, you know, Antonio Gates is a must for me, or I'm going to be as crazed as I was on Tuesday with Jackson Merrill.
All right, lastly, let's pay this off. I mentioned Deion Sanders setting down a kickstand in Colorado.
Yeah, what did you mean by that, Tony?
What I meant was he's happy where he is. A lot of the conversation here.
Oh, so he's parking his bike.
He's parking his bike. We can go with a bike. He's parking
or
that.
His motorcycle.
Car, motorcycle, whatever. He's missing.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say. It was too lewd.
Self-edit.
It was too lewd.
He's missing a couple toes, so I don't know that he can really kickstand anywhere.
Let's be nice to him. Let's be nice.
Nonetheless,
to him.
The point was, after a lot of conversation about him heading to the NFL, he seems to be content and happy where he is in Colorado. I personally think that's a great place for him. Only other place I can see him really going is his alma mater, which is Florida State. Outside,
they might
that,
have an opening.
They very well might talk about a turnaround. I mean, they went. I think people forgot because they ended up getting at the time people thought hosed out of the playoff, but they went 13-0 at one point last year before they lost that last game. Now they are on the precipice of doing the exact opposite, or doing the reverse. It seems like this team has really struggled, and it's really the only other place I could see him going, but. I don't know if I want to go to Florida State at this point. He's got a pretty good setup right there in Colorado, Big 12. I don't know that it's a better conference than the ACC right now.
I've never heard a college football coach in my life put down their kickstand and then go somewhere else in like 3 months. I've never heard it before, so I will wait.
I hate to agree with Scraby, but Tony, I still am not 100% buying Deion because if Jerry Jones comes with a private helicopter. And Shedeur Sanders, let's say he gets drafted to, you know, groom Dak Prescott or you know, learn behind Dak Prescott. I think that pull would be very strong for Deion to maybe still go to the NFL. I'm not closing the door.
I heard a very interesting argument on that today, because right now Shedeur Sanders is the number one rated quarterback, so, and very well could be the number one pick in the draft. However, I heard a very interesting take on the dynamic that would be in a locker room having head coach and the quarterback as father-son. The type of maybe unintended consequences that happen when guys can't feel like they can talk freely in that locker room because, you know,
right. Yeah.
It could present something different than I think that's ever been presented in sports that I can remember. So we'll talk about it a little bit later. We'll get to the 3 o'clock side here. Go ahead.
I got Roki Sasaki news, everybody.
Uh-oh.
He didn't choose a team or anything like that, but it's news nonetheless. It's good for us.
I told you this was going to happen yesterday.
You did.
By the way.
You did.
Morgan and Chris on the other side.